It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome aboard. We've got a really good program for you today with some great guests to include Andrew McKean, the hunting and optics editor for Outdoor Life magazine, now in digital format. Every year, Andrew puts new optics ranging from rifle scopes to spotting scopes to binoculars through a rigorous 3-day test to determine which ones are truly the best of the best, and he shares the results in Outdoor Life. Andrew is going to explain exactly what those tests are and then tell you what binoculars came out on top this year and what caught his eye, pun intended, in terms of a really innovative new pair of binoculars. Another guest you'll hear from today is Henrik Mortensen. He is a renowned fly fisherman who calls Denmark home. He's also the author of a really interesting book, now out in paperback from Stackpole Books, called Fly Casting Scandinavian Style. We'll be placing an overseas call to chat with Henrik and find out exactly what this style of fly fishing is all about, and also ask Henrik the question, what is the most common mistake he sees most fly fishing anglers make on the water? In addition to this, Tina Pattison, the founder of a nonprofit called Hunt of a Lifetime, will join us. Tina lost her teenager, but before he passed, he was able to go on an all-expense-paid moose hunt in Alberta. This brought great joy to him, and Tina decided she wanted to start up an organization that could do this for other young men and women under the age of 21 suffering from life-threatening illnesses or disabilities. Now, Hunt of a Lifetime is a nationwide organization taking kids on unbelievable hunting and fishing trips. You are definitely going to want to hear more about this organization, which we are proud to have as a new sponsor of our show. Speaking of sponsors, did you know Henry Repeating Arms makes lever-action shotguns? It's true. They've got several models available that you can use for hunting everything from rabbits to squirrels to grouse or woodcock. Holding up to 6 rounds, these firearms aren't too shabby for home defense either with the right loads, especially the Henry X410, which is one of the most compact shotguns on the market. Think mare's leg-style shotgun, and you'll get an idea when it comes to this firearm. If you want to check out these accurate, reliable, and rugged 410 lever-action shotguns that are all American-made, simply go to henryusa.com, check them out, and find a dealer near you. That's henryusa.com, and don't forget to ask for your free catalog and decals while you're there. Turning to fishing products, we told you about ICAST, that huge fishing industry trade show that took place in Orlando, Florida a couple of weeks ago. This is the event where all the manufacturers roll out new products in 30 different categories, from lures to rods to reels to apparel and more. And at the end of the show, judges and voters determine which products are the best in each of 30 categories and which one is the very best of all. Today, we get to talk to someone representing the company that took home that Best of Show award along with 5 category awards. We've got John Schlosser on the line. He's a senior vice president of marketing for Pure Fishing, and he and his company had a great ICAST pulling in all sorts of Best of New Product awards. John, welcome to the show and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having us, John.
There's so many to go through. We'll get through as many as we can, but we've got to start off with the one that won the Best Freshwater Bait Award and the Best of Show Award, the best product of all 30 categories that were there. Let's talk about the Berkley Powerbait Gilly. When it comes to ICAST, the biggest trade show when it comes to sports fishing, how did this one come out on top and why?
Sure, John. So yeah, this has been a partnership that, you know, we formed with Mike Iaconelli. We've worked with Mike for many years, and you know, Mike, he really studies the Japanese market, as do we. He spent a lot of time, you know, with our team of scientists in Spirit Lake and designers, you know, working on this bait for, you know, well over a year. The team's been working through this, and it's a bluegill style swim bait that you know, mimics dying bait fish. And of course, it wouldn't be a Berkeley product if we didn't infuse it with our secret power bait formula to, you know, close the deal, to keep the fish on the line. And, you know, Mike spent an enormous amount of time trying to develop this product where it could actually be rigged in many different ways. And that's what's so fun about this bait. It's just a super fun bait to watch swim in the water. You know, you'll double take thinking it's a real bait fish.
That's really interesting to me. So I presume you can hook it by the nose and swim it, as you said, like a swim bait. But it sounds like maybe you can also hook it so it's a vertical jigging lure too?
Yeah, well, you can rig it like a swim bait. You know, you can side hook it and it'll still swim upright. You know, there's some great videos out there already, social media, especially from Mike himself on ways to rig this. Multiple ways. It's endless, to be honest with you.
Well, I can't wait to buy one and try one out. Let's talk about the lure that won the best saltwater hard bait. It's the Choppo. And I've got some Choppos I use for bass and freshwater. I'm guessing that they catch other types of fish in the salt, don't they?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is exciting for us because this is our entry into the saltwater hard bait business. We're not in that business today. Obviously, we do very well with gulp in the soft bait side of things, but we're entering the hard bait business. Leading the charge here is the Choppo. We're taking several of our proven freshwater shapes and turning them into saltwater baits with, you know, upgraded hooks, the right saltwater colors. And it's a fish catching machine just in saltwater, just like it is in freshwater.
What are some of the particular species that you would target using the Choppo? And folks, this is basically, for lack of a better word, it's like a whopper popper plug. Go ahead and tell us what you would use it for.
Yeah, sure. It is a plopper style bait. And, you know, here on the East Coast where I live, the guys are using a lot of times for redfish, as well as for, you know, speckled trout. And then I'm sure that the snook guys will get involved in it down in Florida as well.
All right. Well, let's turn our attention to rods and reels. Another company under the Pure Fishing umbrella besides Berkeley is Abu Garcia. And you won the Best Freshwater Rod Award for the Xenon Rod. Tell our listeners about this one.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, first of all, super proud of the team here, Don. This is, believe it or not, the first time the company has ever won best of category for freshwater rods. And we've created a product that's called the Xenon, which is, it's under the Abu Garcia brand, as you mentioned. And this is the lightest and most sensitive rod we've ever made. You know, it's thanks to our PowerLux 1000 resin system that we have. It's a proprietary resin that we have. And, you know, this is a truly special rod for those seeking, you know, this ultimate in sensitivity and weight. It's mind-boggling how lightweight it is. When you pair it with its sister reel, the Xenon reel, and the spinning, it's a half a pound. It weighs 8 ounces, the entire combo.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. So is this a panfish or trout rod in particular?
Primarily a bass fishing rod. The drop shot guys, the finesse technique guys are just absolutely in love with this. The ones that have been lucky enough to fish it to this point.
Another one I can't wait to try, John. All right. Let's talk about the one that won the best rod reel combo, the Abu Garcia Veritas combo. Break this one down for us.
Sure. So the Veritas rod range has been out for a few years. We did bring a significant upgrade to that range last year with some just, you know, really striking cosmetics as well as, you know, performance. And honestly, in rods, you know, they're about half of what the typical rods in this class cost. So it's a great value for consumers. And now what we've done is we've paired it with a Zeta V reel, you know, that not only complements the look, but also the performance. It's, you know, it's got all the performance metrics you're going to want with, you know, 10+1 bearing systems and graphite frames and carbon matrix drags, but just an exceptional combo, taking the combo market to a new level.
All right, folks, we are running out of time, but again, some big winners at ICAST, the big sport fishing trade show that happens in Orlando every year where everybody rolls out their new products and hopes that theirs is going to be the winner. Pure Fishing, they did great. Again, the Berkeley Powerbait Gilly was the best freshwater bait and won the Best of Show Award for the very best new product. The Berkeley Choppo Saltwater was the best saltwater hard bait. The Abu Garcia Xenon Rod for the best freshwater rod and the Abu Garcia Veritas Combo for the best rod and reel combo didn't even get a chance to get to the Graze Tidal Fly Reel for the best fly reel. We'll have to save that for another time. But John, you've got a lot to be proud of. Congratulations, and thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
This is the time of year to get out and cook out. So make your next meal sizzle with Camp Chef, the brand known for quality outdoor cooking. From camp stove to cast iron, from smokers to grills, Camp Chef will change the way you cook outdoors. To eat like a king on your next adventure, go to campchef.com or visit your local sporting goods store and get cooking. Whether you're serving breakfast in the backcountry or barbecue on the back patio, savor the simplicity with Camp Chef. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors.
Backcountry hunters and anglers, the men and women working hard to keep public lands in public hands. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got one of my favorite guests on the line. It's Andrew McKean, the hunting and optics editor for Outdoor Life. He just ran one of his very stringent tests to find out what the best new binoculars are for 2021. And you can read all about it in the current edition of Outdoor Life by going to outdoorlife.com. But if you just want the highlights, we've got them for you here. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, John. This feels like my homeland. It's nice to be back.
It's always good to have you back. You know, before we get into what came out on top, let's talk about the basics. What separates a top-notch binocular from a binocular that costs, we'll say, less than $200?
You're right to kind of have that differentiation because there's almost no upper end to what you can spend on optics, it seems like, these days. You know, the biggest differentiation really is the optical quality. And the way I look at it is, like, there's lots of ways to measure it, but the best and kind of most intuitive is, how comfortable is it to spend time behind that binocular? And that really is a big sort of watershed. The best of the bunch, you can measure their glass quality, you can measure their coatings, you can measure their performance, but the best measure really is, can I spend all day behind this binocular? Versus the cheaper ones that maybe they make you squint, they kind of give you a headache, they're just not that fun to look through. And that, to me, is really gets at the meat of why we want to use optics in the first place. We want to use them to see better. And any binocular that makes you see better and basically you want to spend time behind is one for you.
Let's talk about the tests that you have to come up with the best optics. You do these not just for binoculars, but for spotting scopes and rifle scopes and other optics too. I've talked to people who have seen your tests before, and they say, at the very least, the very, very least, they're the most rigorous thing they've ever seen in the world. When you test a pair of binoculars, what are some of the things you're looking for?
Not only with binoculars, but yeah, you're right, with all of those other categories of optics, we kind of have a platoon of testers that I kind of dragoon into helping me. There are basically two big categories of testing, and the first one is empirical. It is measurable, repeatable, metrical information. And so that's kind of divided into three subcategories. Let's put it that way. I've got an optical resolution range in my basement. What that is it's about a 50-yard range, goes the length of my basement, and at the end of it, I've got what's called a first surface mirror that reflects back. So I actually double the distance of that range. I use that to really measure the fine-tuned, the hair-splitting resolution. And what resolution is basically is an optic's ability to see the finest detail. Once you kind of figure that out, that's a big window into the talent of an optic, no matter what category it's in. You know, how well can it see? The second empirical measurement is low light performance. And this one has been interesting. We've kind of had an evolution over the course of our test where we mount all the optics on tripods, stabilize them. For binoculars, we use a 100-yard resolution target. We actually send somebody 100 yards down a range as the sun sets and night falls. They turn a great big black and white resolution wheel, and the tester looks through the optics and basically defines when they can no longer see those contrasting black and white lines. We call that winking out. When that optic winks out, we record the time and we pull it from the test. And that's been fascinating, especially for sports optics, right? We're talking hunting and nature watching. The time that hunters and naturists, let's call them, are seeing wildlife most commonly is at the beginning of the day and the end of the day when it's low light. And so we want to rely on our optics to really be able to see well into that twilight condition. So that's a pretty interesting test. The third empirical category, at least for rifle scopes, is we measure their tracking ability. I spend a lot of time behind, actually 22 trainers. The rise of these tactical 22 rifles has been wonderful for our optics test. So I mount them all on a 22, and then I shoot a 10-minute grid and make sure that all the turrets work, that the reticle is tracking, and that they return to their point of aim. So anyway, those are the empirical measurements. The other half of our test are subjective measurements. And this just comes down to we're all human creatures. We like different things. So what I ask my testers to do is evaluate the ergonomics, how well they like the controls, how it fits their face when it comes to binoculars. You know, the eye cups fit everybody's face a little bit differently. They fit everybody's hands a little differently. So between those two, the measurable and the immeasurable, that's really how we arrive at our test results.
Well, Andrew, this is truly a test like no other. Again, folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Andrew McKean, the hunting and optics editor for Outdoor Life, about his latest article in that online magazine, The Best New Binoculars for 2021. Let's talk about the one that won the Editor's Choice Award.
You betcha. Some years we'll have minority opinions. We'll have some of the testers, you know, they love a certain optic. They don't love a certain optic for whatever reasons. And we'll kind of have a battle royale when it comes to picking the winners. Not this year. This was the consensus pick by far and away. It's the Swarovski NL Pure. It's basically a new binocular platform for Swarovski, the Austrian optics company, and it is just a marvel of optical clarity, beautiful performance. You threw out a price point before. This is one that is for the 1%, let's say. The retail cost is $3,099. So
oh my gosh.
This is definitely rarefied air when it comes to optics, but I have to say, it's almost worth it. It is an unbelievably bright, beautiful binocular.
All right. Well, let's go down in our price point. What would you recommend for less than $1,000?
Oh, man, less than $1,000. So right at that $1,000 mark was our great buy. That's a Meopta Mio Pro Air. Our sample is in a 10x42. That's $999. It won our great buy award because it just did everything really well. It's bright. It's got great precision in terms of its focus, and it's super durable. There was actually a pair of binoculars from Vanguard. It's actually interesting. The first ones that we've seen made in Myanmar. We've seen offshore optics manufacturing move from Japan to China to the Philippines. This is the first one that's from really a different country. And they were pretty good. They both retail for about $400, and they were adequate, let's say. They didn't blow our socks off, but again, for $400, they don't really have to, but they're good middle of the road.
One more I want to talk about, the Sig Sauer Zulu 6. It's a 16x42 binocular. First off, I was really interested to see this in the article because I always thought Sig Sauer was in the pistol business, not the optics business. And second, these binoculars have image stabilization, and I always thought that was exclusive just to digital cameras.
Well, this one is so surprising, actually, for both those reasons. So Sig has really branched out into almost every category of the shooting sports you can imagine. So now they're into ammunition. They've got an amazing electro-optics division. And I mention that electro-optics because many of their optics bridge that gap between pure optical talents, but they often have some sort of an electronic dimension to them. So you're exactly right. This image stabilization from, this is called the Zulu 6, and their sample is 16 power by 42 millimeter objective, so it's 16 by 42. Normally, when we're talking about an optic with a magnification over about 10 power, we're suspect because the human hand introduces a lot of shake, and the more the magnification, the greater you see that shake when you're looking through the binocular. So 16 power without an image stabilization is probably going to be almost too shaky to use as a handheld optic. But SIG, recognizing that, has this crazy gyroscopic module in that. And I can't believe I'm saying those words. I sound like some sort of an optical engineer. But what it does is, you're exactly right, it borrows from that technology from like a DSLR camera lens that tames the shake both back and forth and up and down. So when that thing is turned on, you can hear almost a little hum when it engages. What it does is it just immediately quiets the shake of the hands to allow to have a 16-power binocular with a handheld utility. It's pretty doggone nice. One of the things that the test team noticed is it kind of fills a niche between a binocular and a smaller spotting scope. And it also weighs like a pound and a half. It's pretty lightweight. So we actually said, this is something that we might think about using, you know, on a sheep hunt or somewhere where we're really having to watch every bit of our weight.
Very good to know. And folks, there's a lot more to this article as well. Just go to outdoorlife.com, look for Andrew's article, The Best New Binoculars of 2021. Andrew, always a pleasure to have you on America Outdoors Radio.
Well, thank you for having me, John.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got a very special guest coming at you. Her name is Tina Pattison. She's the president and founder of a new sponsor of our show, Hunt of a Lifetime. And this is a nonprofit organization that is doing some great things for kids out there and taking them literally on the hunt of a lifetime. Tina, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't we start off by explaining exactly what the mission is for Hunt of a Lifetime and how big of an organization this is, because I understand this is actually a nationwide organization.
Yes, it is. It's actually international. We have folks in Africa and Spain and Argentina that help us out, and over in New Zealand. So yeah, we've actually getting bigger and bigger. The mission is, we want to take children 21 and under with a life-threatening illness, disability, and send them out on their big game hunting or fishing adventure at no charge to the family.
And how long have you been doing this now, Tina?
We are on year number 22 as of August 2nd, national. June 4th, we were 22 years PA chapter.
Wow. And you live in Harbor Creek, Pennsylvania. And this whole organization came about through, well, unfortunately, through a tragedy involving your family. Let's talk about your son, Matthew, and how the idea of Hunt of a Lifetime came to be.
Well, Matthew is 18, so I don't know if you're aware, but Make-A-Wish does under 18. So he didn't fit the Make-A-Wish program. And when I called them, they also informed me no more hunts. A couple of years later, they took away fishing. But when I talked to him, I said, well, put me in contact with your contacts and I'll talk to him myself. So Matthew had gone into the hospital for a stem cell transplant because his cancer, which was Hodgkin's lymphoma, came back. So they were doing a stem cell transplant. When he was in the hospital, I asked him what he wanted to do, you know, what his dream was. And after Make-A-Wish turned me away, I turned around and found out he wanted to do a moose hunt. So I went to the people that they used. We got Matthew's hunt together, thanks to the wonderful people in Pittsburgh called Safari Club International. They went to an outfitter association called Safari Outfitters, and Clark Jeff, who I still talk to this day, turned around and found an outfitter in Alberta, Canada. Now, they put together the whole hunt for a moose at no cost to the whole family.
Wow.
Now, Matt, in the meantime, had had the stem cell transplant and told his doctors he was going hunting in October, and they told Matt no. Matt said, try stopping me. He was 18 years old. He was an adult. And he knew he had the right. So he just said, try stopping me. I'm going. So Matt went out in October. The whole village of this Nordic Alberta, Canada crew chipped in everything. There was nothing. He had a satellite phone. He had a helicopter flying him in and out so he wouldn't get hurt because it's a 10-mile horseback ride for their normal hunter. The outfitter's son did the guiding. His wife was a paramedic. She stayed with him the whole time in case he had a problem. People donated a satellite phone, the helicopter ride. The feed store donated the feed for the horses. The grocery store donated the food for camp. And there was nothing left. The hardware store donated the tag and license. It just was a wonderful 68-person town that made his dream a reality. And then Matt got his moose, come back, went into remission. But then again, in February, he went out of remission. And unfortunately, the chemotherapy took his life. He passed away April 28th. And from there, I said, you know what? I did this for Matt. I'm pretty sure I can do it for everybody else, kids. There's good people out there. We just got to get everybody connected to each other and find them. So we started doing dreams for the other kids.
You know, Tina, I mean, this is just, wow. My heart is full. What's the name of that village in Alberta, by the way?
Nordic Alberta, Canada. It's halfway between Edmonton and Calgary, and it's right outside of a Banff and Jasper National Park.
That is just amazing what those people did. But it's also amazing what you've done. So many people losing their child, they would literally just curl up, go inside their house, and never live again. And instead, you took that grief and you turned this into something wonderful. How many kids have you been able to help over the years and take them on hunts like the one Matthew was able to enjoy?
We are at 1,143. Have about 50 more going out this year.
We're not just talking about moose hunts. We're talking about all sorts of hunts. What are some of the other hunts that some of the kids have been able to go out on?
We have a lot of requests for elk. We have a lot of requests for buffalo. We get some requests for whitetail. We've had an occasional turkey and pheasant hunt request, but they're not as big a dream as the big game animals. We've had kids go fishing. We've had greater kudu over in Africa. We have a couple people in Africa that donate a hunt every couple of years. So if a kid asks for a greater kudu, that's usually where we send them. If we don't get them over to Africa because there's not an opening, we send them out in Texas. So it's the kids' dream. They tell us what animal they dream of, and then we find it. The same thing with fishing. They tell us what fish they want, and then we get them to them.
Listen to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Tina Pattison, president and founder of Hunt of a Lifetime, a nonprofit organization that makes the hunting and fishing dreams of children with life-threatening illnesses come true. And they do it at no cost for the children. Now, I am certain we have people listening today that they either have a relative or their parents of a child who has a life-threatening illness, and that child might want to go on one of these hunts. How do they go about applying for one, and is there any cost at all if they're chosen?
There's no cost, no cost whatsoever. We take care of everything. That village of 68 people took care of everything for my Matt. Even the airline tickets were covered. So we do it all for the kids. We do their taxidermy, their airlines, their travel in any way, so car rental. We do their meat transportation back to them and processing to get it back to them. We do everything. We pay for licenses, the hotel, the lodging, you name it, it's all covered. It's a complete package. They get to go with one companion. Unfortunately, the companion does not get to hunt because it's not about them. The
sure.
People that are giving up tags are doing it for the kids. If they go fishing, the parents are welcome to go on the boat because the boats are usually chartered for six people anyways. But they're all covered. And they would go to the website, huntofalifetime.org, and they would hit on Youth Form, which is on the very front page. It's also on the form pages. We have a page with all the different forms. It's also on that page. And they would print out the six pages. And they would make sure they notarize two of those pages need notarized. And then they need to get a doctor's letter. That's the one that says, yes, they're fit the program. Doctor letter needs to say, hey, he has a disability or an illness that's considered life-threatening. And once those words are in that letter, that fits them into the program and cinches the fact that they are going to receive what they ask for.
Okay, so now you know how to apply. And folks, as you might imagine, a nonprofit organization like this, they rely on donations. They also need volunteers to help out. And the website to go to, I presume, Tina, is the same, huntofalifetime.org?
Yeah.
So is there a Facebook page as well where people can engage with your organization?
Yeah, we have several Facebook pages. If you punch in Hunt of a Lifetime on a search on Facebook, you'll come up with six of them. We actually have an Eastern and Western PA because, of course, that's where I started and they're very active. We have one for Wisconsin. We have one for the state of Washington. We have one for New York. And then we have two that are titled Hunt of a Lifetime Foundation. One's videos of different kids that have gone out and some pictures of the different kids. They can tap into any one of those Hunt of a Lifetimes and get through to whoever. If they want to get through to here, it's the two Hunt of a Lifetime national ones and the Western PA, because I actually run the Western PA along with doing all my office stuff. And they want to volunteer, there's a volunteer form. We need them to go to the website and click on a volunteer form so that we can get their references done and then approve them and then get them out there and get them going. If they want to donate an outfitting tent, then they need to fill out the outfitter charter guide form and get that to us. And it doesn't have to be a licensed outfitter. It just has to be somebody that has the opportunity. Maybe they have a couple hundred acres and wonderful blinds on them and plenty of animals, but they still have to fill out that outfitter guide questionnaire because there's questions on there I really need answered. Same thing with the charter boat captain.
Gotcha. I hate to cut you off, but we are so out of time. However, folks, Hunt of a Lifetime, definitely an organization you can get behind. Whether you have a child with a life-threatening illness that would love to go on the hunting or fishing trip of a lifetime, or if you want to help out as a volunteer or donate, because they certainly need funds to make all this happen, the website is the same, huntofalifetime.org. And as you heard, lots of places to contact them on Facebook too. Tina, thanks for what you do. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to having you on the air again soon.
Okay, thank you.
We love our children. We protect them. We guide them. We prepare them for life in the world. With all that we do, from deep in our hearts, we cannot control all things. Life-threatening illnesses and disabilities affect far too many of our children each year. While we cannot change the circumstance, we can make dreams come true. Dreams to provide hope, to provide spiritual healing and strength, to provide moments of happiness and relief in the hardest of times. We can give a glimmer of light and hope in a time of darkness and despair. Join huntofalifetime.org to help make dreams come true, to provide hope for children with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Hunt of a Lifetime is a nonprofit organization fulfilling dreams for hunting and fishing trips to youth 21 and under with life-threatening illnesses and disabilities. Visit huntofalifetime.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Hey, how'd the meeting go with Tommy's school counselor today?
Well, not exactly as planned. I think we need help.
Help? Why do we need help?
Well, I asked her about paying for college, and she said that's not something they do.
Maybe it is time to get some help. Even if Tommy just goes to state college, it's going to cost at least $25,000 a year. We'll have to raid our retirement and pay for Tommy's tuition. There's got to be a better way.
There is a better way. A way where you can pay less for college, or even receive college tuition free, regardless of your income or your students' grades. A way for you to keep your hard-earned income and savings for your future and spend less on college, while virtually eliminating the need for student loans. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org. That's tuitionprograms.org. Tuitionprograms.org. Get the facts about college admissions and tuition by going to tuitionprograms.org.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Campers, adventure seekers, hunters, and foodies. No matter the lifestyle, we can all agree on one thing. Great food and great people are worth remembering. At Camp Chef, we don't just make grills. We create each product knowing that a warm meal is always better when it's shared with those we love. Learn more about Camp Chef grills, smokers, and portable cooking equipment at campchef.com. That's campchef.com for a better way to cook outdoors.
Our next stop today on America Outdoors Radio isn't even in the United States. No, we are heading to the wonderful country of Denmark. That's where we get to talk to Henrik Mortensen. He's a guide, a fly tackle designer, and a well-traveled instructor who teaches casting seminars. And he's also the author of a book that's been out quite a while. It's in 6 different languages, very good seller. It's called Fly Casting Scandinavian Style, and it's out in paperback for the first time from Stackpole Books. Henrik, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Let's start off by talking about fly fishing in Scandinavia, in countries like Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. What fish are you targeting in these countries?
Fly fishing for salmon and teetar is probably the main sport for fly fishing here. And then trout, of course, also in all streams and tributaries. But otherwise, you know, pikes, you know, and it's big also here for fly fishing. But we have a long season here, probably longer than most countries. Like in Denmark, we have like a teetar season that goes for 12 months a year where we can fish on the coast. And it's done by fly fishing mainly.
Oh, wow.
And the season in the rivers are pretty long too. Also, we have a salmon season that starts in 15th, 16th of April. And goes on to like 15th of October. So there's lots of great fishing here for using a fly rod.
I love the thought of casting for Atlantic salmon. The trout you're after, are they all brown trout or other species too?
Those are mainly brown trout.
All right. Well, let's talk about the fly fishing. Are you using a regular fly rod or are you using a spey rod and why?
It all depends on where I'm fishing. I mean, if I'm fishing the bigger rivers, you know, where you need more like line control and more use of mending the line, you know, to control the speed of the fly, then a spey rod is way more efficient to use. If you're fishing like dry flies for salmon or you're fishing smaller streams, then single hand or switch rods is very good. Switch rods is like it's a different concept because it's not just a short double hand rod. It's actually a single hand rod, which can be used with two hands. So like when you're in a situation where it's easy with two hands, you can use it with two hands, and otherwise you use it as a single hand.
Oh, interesting. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book and about the concept of fly fishing Scandinavian style. You actually break down exactly how to do this, but before we talk about that, what is fly fishing Scandinavian style compared to how most of us handle a fly rod here in the U.S.?
For me, it's different in that way. Like, you know, the cast only has one purpose. It's actually bringing the fly to the fish. And thinking about that, you know, I created a casting technique which was actually just mainly focused on actually fishing a fly and being able to fish a fly from any kind of position, from any piece of water, and from both sides of the river at any time. So that casting style is different compared to like many other casting styles because you have casting styles where, you know, you see how far you can cast, you know, competition, stuff like that. But that has nothing whatsoever to do with like catching fish. Where mine is mainly about catching fish, you know, so the bait cast is actually made according to presenting a fly and fishing a fly very efficient.
Interesting. So tell me more about this. I mean, I think that basic American fly caster just does the 10 and 2, you know, start off at 10, you know, bring it back to 2 and let loose at 10. And you are, you know, mending your line as you go along in your cast. But it sounds like what you're doing is a little bit different than this.
Yeah, fly casting can be complicated if you want to make it complicated. And I think a lot of manufacturers in the world actually have made it complicated to become a fly angler because this all starts with the tools you're using. If the tools is not made 100% precise to according to what they should be used for, then it actually becomes very difficult to be a caster. And to give you an example, like you have the AFCM system, which I've been a prone to for many years because the AFCM system is a system where you have a number on a line and a number on a rod.
Right.
And you have numbers on the reel and it has to match together. But nothing really matches. And it all comes down to weight. So, you know, the fly has to be casted with a certain weight as line weight, and that line weight has to be loaded with the rod. So the rod has to be made to a certain line weight also. So you can actually make it more simple that way, and then it's easier actually to become a fly angler. And you can concentrate much more on where you actually to shop the rod, because it will tell you by itself. It's much easier then. So I think like there's been like some changes, you know, the way of we develop new things today. So it's easier actually to become a fly angler.
What do you think is the biggest mistake most beginning and maybe even some experienced fly anglers make when it comes to trying to catch fish?
One of the things, you know, people have to like stop thinking about is how far they have to cast to catch a fish, because you don't really have to cast far to catch a fish. I mean, if you're standing on a riverside, you know, and most people want to cast to the other side, you know, to catch a fish. But if you talk to the guy on the other side, then he wants to cast to your side. So you could just swap space, sort of say, right? And then fish very short cast. I think like the longer cast is actually the one that's much harder to fish a fly on compared to shorter cast. So I think in the start, it's really, I think it's better people like focus on like making shorter cast, precise cast, and controlling the fly. And you can also say like fly fishing actually came from that aspect of like it was something you're doing. It was like a visual thing. It was like presenting a fly. It was controlling a fly. And you don't find the word distance in any of those terms. So I think fly fishing is much easier if you just step back, you know, and think about what it actually is.
Henrik, I love your philosophy, yeah. And I think people are going to love your book. We are out of time, but folks, you really ought to check this out. If you're a fly angler, whether you're experienced or whether you're just getting started, check out Fly Casting Scandinavian Style from Stackpole Books. You can find it, of course, on Amazon. You can find it probably in your local bookstore, too, and probably at lots of fly shops around the United States as well. Again, it's by Henrik Mortensen, Fly Casting Scandinavian Style. If you want to up your fly fishing game when it comes to catching fish, this is definitely a book that's worth reading, and it's now out in paperback for the first time. Henrik, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Very welcome, and I wish everybody a tight line.
By the way, this portion of the show is brought to you by Worksharp Knives and Tools. And if you're wondering what their best-selling product is, I can tell you it's the Ken Onion Edition Powered Knife and Tool Sharpener. It uses abrasive belts, and this handheld knife sharpener lets you sharpen knives and tools, everything from axes to shovels to lawnmower blades, at any angle, and will help you keep all of these with the sharpest blade possible. It not only does a good job, it does a great job, and that's why it is the best seller. You can find the Ken Onion Edition Powered Knife and Tool Sharpener from Worksharp at quality sporting goods stores, hardware stores, and ranch and home stores, or online anytime at worksharptools.com. By the way, are you good with tools? Because our friends at Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island in Southeast Alaska are in immediate need of a marine mechanic, so much so that they'll pay you not only $5,000 to $7,500 a month, depending on your experience, but they'll also give you a $1,000 sign-up bonus and inclusion in the tip pool that guests leave for the staff. This is an 8-week gig, but it could turn into a regular spring, summer, seasonal position, or even a full-time job with benefits for the right person. You'll be servicing multiple boats used at the lodge, ranging from 15-foot boats with outboards all the way to a 56-foot boat, but the emphasis will be on the 6 36-foot charter boats used to take guests fishing. You'll also be servicing the generators at the resort, too. As we mentioned, an experienced marine mechanic is preferred, but if you are a diesel mechanic with a good work ethic looking to branch out, you are welcome to apply, too. Go to alaskasbestlodge.com to apply and call the toll-free number listed there. Ask to speak with Captain Mac or Miss Patty about this immediate opening for a marine mechanic. The website again, alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge. And hurry, this position with this kind of pay in such a beautiful setting, it's not going to be open for long. One more thing from Sportsman's Cove Lodge. As you may recall from a couple of weeks ago, we told you about an end of season special that they have. They actually added one final trip. It's a 4-day trip, and you're really going to be specializing not only in big halibut, but also in coho salmon. You'll never catch them bigger than you do in September. Now, this trip, as I recall, the dates are the 8th through the 12th, and you'll spend the final night at the lodge instead of in Ketchikan, so that makes it really easy to to just take the float plane to the airport and hop on your plane with your fish and head on home. If you want to take advantage of this, I mean, this lodge has been sold out for a long time. There are 3 slots left for this end of season trip at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. As you've heard on this show, this is a fantastic place with fantastic fishing and outstanding customer service. If you want to take advantage of it, go to alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com. Contact the folks at Sportsman's Cove Lodge and let them know you want that end of season fishing package. It's time to wrap things up and put a bow on this show, but if you didn't catch the whole program, don't worry, you can always catch it in a few days when we upload it as a podcast. Just look for America Outdoors Radio or America Outdoors Radio Podcast on your favorite podcast platform, and don't forget to like and follow our Facebook page too at America Outdoors Radio, because we are going to be doing another giveaway very soon, and I don't want you to miss out on that. Our thanks, as always, to our great guests that help us put together a good show. Andrew McKean from Outdoor Life magazine, Tina Pattison with Hunt of a Lifetime, Henrik Mortensen, that Scandinavian flycaster, and John Schlosser with Pure Fishing. Here is hoping that you are blessed in the days ahead, and here's hoping you get to enjoy some fun time outside too. After all, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.